Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Find 2 Samuel tonight. I'm going to spend a little time in the Word. 2 Samuel tonight, chapter 9. Let's go there. And I'm going to talk to you about an Old Testament word tonight. And we're going to spend some time on. We'll be in the New Testament also if we have the time tonight. But we're just going to do some teaching tonight about this word. Some of you have heard it. Some of you, it may be a new word to you. But I'm going to explain it to you a little bit. But there's a Bible word in the Old Testament that talks about God's covenant love. And that's what I'm going to talk about, covenant love. The fact that God loves us and He's in covenant with us. And it's a Hebrew word called, I call it, some people pronounce it differently, I call it hesed. And it's found throughout all the Bible, hesed. H-E-S-E-D, I think is how you pronounce it, or how you spell it. But anyway, it's a Bible word found in the Old Testament, and it's talking about God's covenant love, that He's in covenant to love you. It actually has with it obligation, that He's obligated to you because He's in covenant with you. Amen. It's something that it's like a yearning to do something good for you. Amen. You know, like the New Testament calls in the King James, I like the way they did it. The modern translations clean it up. But I think the King James did a pretty fair job talking about God's love, agape love. They would call it sometimes charity. And the reason they did that was to let you know it's not the same type of love like I love pizza. It's not that same. I love my puppy. You know what I'm saying? I love money. Well, you shouldn't love money, but anyway. Some people do, but you don't understand. They want us to know that this isn't the same type of love here. This isn't sexual love. This isn't love between a husband and wife. This isn't brotherly love. This isn't I love at this and that. Because there's like four different Greek words for love. But agape is a giving kind of love. It wants to do something for you. It wants to bless you and be good to you. Right. Hallelujah. And so that's the kind of love that God has. And that this has said. The Old Testament people, they knew about it. They understood it and what it meant, that God was just in covenant with them and He had covenant love towards them. Now, you know, I might go out tomorrow or someday and might see a lady on the street, not a street lady, but a lady on the street that's homeless. You got to clarify things. You know, that's homeless. You know, some ladies are homeless, right? And I might give her a few dollars. But my wife's different. Amen. I'm going to work a job, two jobs if I have to provide for her and take care of her. I'm not working for this other lady. I might give her some money. I might help her out. But I'm not going to get a job to support her. Why? I'm not in covenant with her. I'm in covenant with this woman right here on the front row. And that's the way God is. When He's in covenant with you, He wants to do things for you. He wants to bless you. Amen. And so we have to understand that. And so we're going to talk about that tonight, because you'll see that the word hesed in the Hebrew, you'll find it translated many different ways in the Bible. You'll find the word like loving kindness. Anybody ever seen that in the Bible? Loving kindnesses, mercy, goodness. That's all. A lot of those words are the same words, hesed. It's all that same Hebrew word, and it's just talking about His covenant love, how He's in love with us, and He wants to bless us. Amen. A lot of people need to know this because they don't know this, but let's look at this, and let me just say this before we look at that. A lot of the Old Testament people knew about it, even people that weren't what we would call saved people or in covenant with God, they knew about it. Rahab the harlot knew about it. When the spies came to her, she said, look, promise me, I've been kind to you. Promise me you'll show me kindness when you raid this city. And what she was asking for, the word kind, she was saying, promise me you'll show me hesed. You'll show me covenant love. And give me a true token. See, she's talking about covenant. Give me a true token here. And they said, okay, if you have this red string hanging out, you know, your window, then that's a sign to everybody, leave you alone. Get all your family. They got to be in your house. The red cord's got to be out the window. See, what's that? She was just saying, give me some. I know about your God. We've heard about your God and His hesed, His covenant love. Show me some of that. Right. So they knew about that. They knew how God was. And God described him that way in Exodus 34. He said, I'm abundant in goodness, which the word goodness there is said, I'm abundant in covenant love. I want to bless you. I just yearn to do something good for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we don't necessarily think in God terms like that, but did you know God wants you healed more than you want to be healed? And you have to, that has to renew your mind and your thinking. David talked about, has said in Psalm 63, he said, it's better than life. Thy loving kindness. How many old enough remember that song we used to sing? Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I'll lift up my hands in your name. We used to sing a little chorus about that. Well, David said, your covenant love is better than life, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, look at this in 2 Samuel, verse 9. David said, is there any that's left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness, chesed, for Jonathan's sake? Or the covenant love. Now, let me stop. You understand, you go back in 1 Samuel 20, David made and Jonathan made a covenant together. And David's and Jonathan's covenant was this. David and Jonathan swear to me, because Jonathan knew David was going to be king. He said, swear to me that you'll be good to me and my house when you become king. And they made a covenant that he would bless Jonathan and bless his house forever. So that's just so you'll know that that's in play here. Verse 2, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba, or Ziba, however you want to say that. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, are you Ziba? He said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him the, notice this, the kindness of God, the chesed of God, the covenant love of God. You know, when these Old Testament folks like David, Jonathan, when they made covenants with one another, they took it serious. I said, they took it serious. They would say, as the Lord liveth. Amen. They'd get God involved. In other words, and even when Jonathan and David made this covenant, Jonathan basically said, if you don't keep it, let your enemies require it of you. Let them take vengeance on you. So you didn't just enter into covenant back then unless you were really serious. And so he said, is there not, verse 3, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, and the son of Amiel in Lodibar. Then the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, out from the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now, Lodibar, if you've ever done any study about Lodibar, how many have done a real big study about Lodibar? That's kind of what I thought. Nobody thinks to study about Lodibar, because Lodibar literally was a worthless place. It was a desolate place. So here he is. This kid really was in line to be royalty. He is Saul, King Saul's grandson. So he's in line for the throne. But things went bad, and now he's in Lodibar, a no place, a zero, a nothing. I could name some cities around here that are Lodibars. But since we're live streaming, we'll leave that alone. How about that? But I don't know, Phyllis and I, we went reminiscing back to some of the old, one of the old places where it kind of was our old stomping ground years ago. We went through one city, we'll leave it named, but it's now a Lodibar. Bad time Lodibar. But anyway, so this is where Mephibosheth is, and the king says, go fetch him. Now, why? Because he's sitting there on his throne, and he thinks about this covenant that he's made with Jonathan, and that starts welling up in him, where he made that promise to Jonathan that I'll not only do you good, I'll do your seed good. And so he's thinking about that, and he's thinking, is there anybody left that I can bless? I got to bless somebody. I'm in covenant with Jonathan. I got to bless. Now, Jonathan's already passed on, but the covenant's still there because he said he blew not only to Jonathan, but to Jonathan's seed. So he said, is there anybody left? And Ziba says, there's one left, Mephibosheth. He's in Lodibar. David said, go get him. And we won't read the rest of it, but when David went and got him, he brought him and made him sit at his table, fed him with the king's food, and treated him like royalty. Hallelujah. And the Bible said he was lame in his feet. You know, he was. That's just a picture of us, you know. We were from nowhere, nothing, Zeroville. How many know that? Zeroville. Amen. And God in his great love rescued us. Hallelujah. And he took us from Lodibar, a place of nothing, and he set us at his table. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And now you can say, pass the biscuits. Glory to God. Now, this is something that if you don't know this about God, you could really miss a lot of good things he wants to do for you, because how many know that everything that God does comes by, anybody know what it comes by? It's provided through grace, but how does it come to us? By faith. By faith are you, by grace are you saved through what? Through faith, right? So even though God's grace has provided, our faith receives it. Our faith appropriates it, right? And so God wants to do good things to people. Didn't Jesus, when he went to his hometown, didn't he want to heal people there?
Yeah.
Sure. But he could there. He couldn't do any more. It didn't say that he wouldn't. It said he couldn't. Because why? God's power works by faith. You understand that? People say, well, God can do anything he wants. Well, he can't lie. Right? Says he can't. It's impossible for God to lie, the Bible says. He can't do it. He's truth. There's no lie in him. Satan's the opposite. There's no truth in him. He can't tell the truth for lying. God can't tell a lie for truthing. I make up words, you know that. All right. But you understand what I'm saying. So we go back, and the thing of it is if we don't know this about God, you know, we can limit him from what he wants to do in our life, his goodness, his grace, his blessing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, he can do, how many know he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Right? See, realistically think. Amen. You know, when you're a kid, you think, but it's not realistic thinking. When I was a kid, my goal was to be an NFL linebacker. Now, I want you to look at this body. Just take a good look. I know it's glorious. I understand. But it doesn't really look like an NFL linebacker. 5 feet, eight guys just don't fill those shoes. You know what I'm saying? Because you're trying to tackle guys that are 6'4", 6'5", all right? So how many know, I could think pretty big, but it wasn't realistic thinking. God didn't have that for me. He didn't give me the body for that. Amen. Right? You know, I could have been wanting to be something else, like a model on a magazine, but he didn't give me the body for that either. He didn't give me the hair for that or anything else. But anyway, how many understand what I'm talking about? When the Bible says, above all we ask or think, it's realistic thinking. What we can realistically think, you know what I'm saying? God can do above that.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you know, you think, well, I would like to have this, but God can do bigger than that.
Right.
Come on, somebody help me.
Yes,
well, you know, I could believe for this kind of thing, but God could do something bigger than that kind of thing.
Amen.
Amen. But you got to let him. How many know you got to let?
Yeah.
We had a guy preach years ago, back in the late 80s. We had a guy come and preach on healing for us, and he preached the message, let God heal you. I never forgot that. Remember that service? Let God heal you. Just let him do it. Amen. Just let him be good to you. Amen.
Yeah.
Now I want to show you something. Go to the New Testament. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Go there. Come on, are you with me tonight? We're just doing some teaching here tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. So David had to find somebody to show his said to. Why? Because it was just inside of him to bless somebody. That covenant meant something to him. Now, so this has said, this God's kind of love, covenant love, It's a love that wants to just bless somebody. He just wants to be good to you. Hallelujah. Amen. I've had God do things for me. I think, well, you know, I didn't really need that, but thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Bible says in Ephesians 2, 4, and I've read this scripture several times, but I love this scripture. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy. How many know God's loaded with mercy? You know, and that's kind of the equivalent there of chesed. It's the New Testament. It's not chesed in the New Testament because it's Greek, not Hebrew. But it's just showing us God's covenant love. He's rich in something. He's loaded with mercy. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we're supposed to be merciful too. You know, people make mistakes. Everybody does. Amen. It's just sometimes, and you know, sometimes people, like people on TV, preachers and stuff, make mistakes. And so, but they just get, you know, everybody knows theirs and gets seen and all that. But how many know we're supposed to be people of mercy? That doesn't mean we excuse sin, but we have mercy. How many know people can repent? How many know that? People can say, you know, I missed it. That goes, you know, David was a man after God's own heart, but he missed it quite a few times. But I think the reason why God said he's a man after his heart, because David, when he missed it, I mean, he got it right. He repented. You know, when Nathan came in and said, you know, hey, somebody stole a little ewe lamb from a guy. They had a lot of lambs. They took a little ewe lamb. Remember that story? You know, that's right after David had done what he did with Bathsheba and had her husband killed in war. And, you know, he comes in there and says, hey, I want to tell you a story. Here's a little story. There's a guy, you know, he had a bunch of sheep, you know, and there's this other guy. He had one little ewe lamb that's precious to him, laid in his bosom, you know, and this guy that had a lot of sheep took his little sheep. And David got mad. He basically said, I'll kill him myself. Who is he? And they said, you the man. I mean, that took a lot of guts as a prophet to tell the king that. But he said, you're the man. And what, you know what David did? He repented. He conveyed, I'm it. See, I'm the man. I'm the man. He got it right, didn't he? Amen. You know, David made his mistakes, but he loved God. Did you know people that love God make mistakes? Right? Has anybody ever, and now you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to say amen, you can just say, I know this is for the guy sitting next to me or the lady sitting next to me. Has anybody ever missed it before? Has anybody ever let their flesh get the better of them? Has anybody ever had to repent? How many think you might need to before the year's over? Right? Because we're not planning for failure, but it's just like Jesus said, he knew what was in man. He knows what's in man. We've been born again. We've been made the righteous of God, but we're still carrying around this body of flesh, right? This nature of flesh that has to be renewed, has to be sat on, right? Has to be brought, Paul said it has to be brought into subjection. Has to be brought in line. Amen. Your body will, you know, because the devil will get, this is where the devil will get you. You're a Christian and you wanted to do that kind of thing. Well, it wasn't you, it was your flesh. The real you doesn't want to do those kind of things. If you're born again, you don't want to sin. Right. It's repulsive to you. But yet sometimes your flesh gets the better of you. Yeah. Or we let it, right? It doesn't have to, but we let it. Yeah. So what do we need at that time? Mercy. We need mercy. I thought you guys would know. But anyway, I'll tell you. You need mercy. Let us, like the Bible talks about in Hebrews, when it's talking about that verse, sometimes if you read it in context, you'll get a little bit more out of it. It talks about that we have a high priest we have a high priest who's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses because he's been tempted in all points like as we have been, but yet without sin. And then it says, let us come therefore boldly under the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. What does that mean? Well, you come when you're being tempted to get grace. If you missed it, you come and get mercy. I mean, grace empowers you.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Right. Mercy saves your bacon.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, you just got to decide. If you've missed it, how many of us, you need to come to the throne of grace and get what? Mercy. Mercy. If you haven't missed it yet, this is really what you ought to do, is come and get grace to help you before you do miss it. It's like one guy asked, this preacher said, his son asked him, why does I always feel like repenting after I've sinned? Why don't I feel like that before? Well, how many of you can? And you train yourself to for sin become repulsive to you, right? The Bible said Jesus loved righteousness, he hated iniquity, and he was anointed with the oil of gladness or joy above everybody else. Sin will not make you full of joy. Sin will rob you of joy. Sin will give pleasure to the flesh for a season, but it's a short season. And the payday is death, right? It always brings some kind of form of death in your life. But righteousness produces joy in your life. Hallelujah. Have you ever been tempted and you resisted it? At least we got a few of you have. Praise the Lord. It's like, son, I don't know what that's like. No, you need to know what that's like, all right? You need to know what that's like. So what happens when you do resist it? Don't you feel good? Don't you feel good inside? You feel joyful? Praise God. I beat that. No, don't get too haughty because it might come back around and you need God's help. You know, it's like the guy said, I just praise God for everything that I do. Well, how about putting God in there? It's like I have a friend. I mean, I haven't seen him in years, and so I don't know. You know, we've been on foreign fields together, but he plays instruments and he plays a saxophone, keyboard, different things. He's very talented, very good. Made some albums and stuff like that. And so he's got some real talent. One time he was in Colombia, Bogota, at a church there, and he said that he got up and he played his saxophone, and he could really play a saxophone really well. He said, when I got done, he said, I sat down by the pastor on the front row, I'm done. And the pastor says, that was really good, brother. He said, but never forget, it was a praise and worship leader that fell. Satan? Yeah. Amen. It's good, but remember where your talent came from.
Amen. That's right.
Right? I'm a self-made person. Well, praise God, you're short term. You're not going to be around long if you've made yourself, because this world is passing away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. So you're just short term. You need to be a God-made person. Amen. You know, and give God praise for it. Amen. You know, sometimes people say, well, Pastor, that was really good. Well, thank God for it, because I know what it's like when he doesn't show up. When you and God show up at the same place at the same time, it works out pretty good. Amen. But I want you to see this now. I wanted to read this verse out of the Amplified Bible. Verse 4, once again, let's read it out. I've got the King James. It says, but God, who's rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy for his great love. Remember the couple songs we started out with, talked about his love and his mercy. For his great love, which he loved us. Listen, he had a great love. He has a great love that he loves us with. I love the Amplified Bible. Listen to the Amplified Bible. If you don't have one, just listen to this. But God, so rich is he in his mercy. Listen to this. Because of, in order to satisfy the great, wonderful, intense love with which he loved us. Let me say it again. It says that God has such a great, wonderful, intense love, he had to satisfy it. Remember when you were a kid, did you ever love somebody and they didn't love you back? Or they wouldn't accept your love? Well, you guys just did not have a normal childhood, did you? All these experiences I had, it's like you didn't have any of them. It's like, hey. You know, you had a crush on somebody. Yeah. Amen. How many can just be honest and say, you look back and you had a crush on somebody and now that you're older, you think, thank God that didn't come to pass. I'm just thinking about things. You know what's on. Well, how many of
glory to God.
Glory to God. God was merciful. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I gave a girl a ring one day and got it back the same day. I don't know where the ring came from. I don't know. Probably, you remember, you used to Cracker Jacks. You got good prizes. Now you just get stupid stuff. used to get rings and stuff, you know what I'm saying? And you could give it to your girlfriend, you know what I'm saying? Now you get something stupid, a little stupid piece of paper. It's a cheapo, el cheapo. Amen. Everything's gone downhill except the Word of God. But how many of you know God, He has such love that the Amplified Bible says, in order to satisfy it. Think about it. In order to satisfy. This is the same thing with David. David's sitting on that throne, and all of a sudden he thinks about that Hesed, that covenant that he made with Jonathan, that Hesed to do Jonathan and his seed good. He's thinking about that, and he says, is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I can bless? We sit right here in Ephesians chapter 2. God says, is there anybody I can bless? The Old Testament says his eyes go to and fro, looking for someone to show himself strong to. Is there anybody I can bless? Look what he did because he wanted to bless us. Look at the rest of this in verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God said, I just got to do something good for somebody. So is there anybody that's dead in sins I can make alive? Hallelujah. Is there anybody I can raise you up and seat you together with Christ in heavenly place? Give you authority. Wow. That in the ages to come, he's not done. How many know we've been blessed on this earth pretty good? How many can say amen to that? But how many know he's not even began yet? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, see, there's that word kindness. See, that's in the Old Testament, that word kindness is God's covenant love, his hesed. God wants to show. Now, they don't use Hesed in the New Testament because it's Greek language. It's a different language. But it's the same thing. It's the same meaning. God wants to show His kindness to us throughout eternity. What's He going to show? I don't know. I have no idea. Hallelujah. But, the Bible talks about Jesus said, I've prepared a place for you. The King James calls them mansions. I don't know. How many know God knows the desire of your heart? He knows your taste. He knows whether you have Victorian taste, contemporary taste, early goodwill. He knows. He knows what your taste is. So, I don't know. Your house is going to have in it whatever. I don't even know what I like. I'm one of these guys that look. If you come into my room in 1980 and you see the pictures and the knickknacks hanging around, in 2080, if I'd live that long, they'd still be the same unless this beautiful lady doesn't come in and change them. That's just me. I mean, it's just like I had pictures of the grandkids and our daughter-in-law when they were little bitty. Not she wasn't little bitty, but she was really young. And I'm not saying she's not young now in case she sees this. But, she's older than she was. But, and they would still be, I had them on a ledge in my other office, and they sat there. They'd already grown up, but I still got the baby pictures and stuff. They'd still be there if she hadn't come in and changed it. So I don't know what my style is, but I figure God's got it figured out. I'm going to walk in and think, man, I don't know. Maybe my style's Elvis. Maybe I walk in there and like, man, Elvis lives here. Praise God. That'd be groovy, wouldn't it? I don't know, but God knows and He's going to bless us. Hallelujah. Are there animals in heaven? Well, there's horses, right? Now, I'm a big animal guy. You may not know it because I don't have any because, we're just, our lifestyle is just not conducive to that, just being gone too much. You know what I'm saying? And some animals suffer anxiety when you're not around. I'm thinking they'd be dead in a week if I had them, Well, you know what I'm saying? So my wife won't let me have them. And I told her, there's a scripture in the Bible that says dogs get the crumbs from their master's table. You ever read that? I said, see, there's a scripture for dogs being in the house. Remember that Syrophoenician woman said that? My wife said, yeah, and that woman had a devil in her house too. Remember, her daughter needed delivered, a devil cast out of her. So, you know, you don't want everything the Syrophoenician woman had in her house. So anyway, well, I got to figure in heaven, God's going to let me have some dogs and cats. Because I like them both. I know people hate cats, but that's all right. I like them. I don't like them all, but most of them are okay. Dogs, I like dogs, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. We'll just see. But all I know is he's going to be good to me, and he's going to be good to you, because that's just his nature. He's got a yearning. Come on, somebody help me out. He's got a yearning inside of you, inside of him, to do good to somebody. Just like David did with Jonathan's family. I got to find somebody of the house of Jonathan. Is there anybody left? Anybody left that I can bless, that I can be good to? And somebody said, well, there's one left. David said, bring him to me. I'm going to bless him. He probably thought David was bringing him to him to kill him because he was Saul's descendants. But David was, he was there to bless him. Amen. Amen. All right, look at Ephesians 3. We're about done here tonight. Did you get anything tonight? Yes. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 17. The Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. How many know your roots got to be in fertile soil, right? Grounded in love. A pastor said he was in, I was over in this foreign country, and you know, I forget what country he said he was in now, but he said, I was over in a foreign country he was talking about, and he said, while I'm there, my wife and I are there to preach, and he said, the pastor says, let's go out here, I want to get you some corn. So he goes to this corn just growing out, you know, in a field, and he breaks off an ear of corn, breaks it in half, and gives part of it, half of it, to the pastor's wife, and he says, eat that. And he's thinking, eat that? It's not cooked. I mean, you got to cook it, right? And then what do you got to do to it? Man, you got to dip it in butter. And then what do you got to do to it? Man, you got to roll it in salt. So if we're going to do it, let's do it right. Amen. And then it's really good. He said, pastor said, no, take a bite of that. And he was thinking, he didn't really want to, but, you know, hey, pastor says to. So he take a bite. He said, that was the best corn I have ever had. Sweet. He said it was good. It wasn't cooked or anything. It was just right off the cob. The pastor said, it's the soil. It's the soil. The soil produces the sweetness of this corn. See, when you're rooted and grounded in love, it produces a sweetness in your life. See, the Bible says faith works by love. See, it's the fertile ground for your faith to work. Perfect love casteth out fear. Why? Because you get so rooted and grounded in God's love that you know he's got your back. But you have to have faith for that to work God wants it to work. Remember what Paul said? I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor any created thing, that's everything but God, everything was created but God, shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Right? See, it's his love. He said, well, I've messed up. Well, you know what? He still loves you. How many got more than one kid? More than one child. Okay. Has any of them ever messed up? Is that a yes?
Yes.
All right. Do you have one that maybe now they're not in here, and we're not naming names. Do you have one that maybe messes up more than the others? Yeah, there's always one of them, right? There's always the one, you know. In Brother Greg's case, it was Shelby? Shelby? It was Tyler. How many know you don't throw them away, right? He said, what happened to one of your kids? We got rid of that one. That one's a trouble. That one's a problem child. How many know? God's the same way. He's committed to you, right? He may not be happy with everything we're doing, but he still loves us and he still wants to help us. He's not out to get us. There used to be a song years ago, a Christian song. I can't believe that Christians, These are unrenewed Christians, unrenewed in their mind. Come up with a song, God's going to get you for that. Remember that, Pastor Brad? Remember that? God's going to get you for that. Hey, honey, if God was going to get you, you'd been gone and got a long time ago. The Bible said, when we were sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. If he demonstrated his love towards us when we were sinners, how much more now, this is Romans chapter 5, that we're children of God, will he do good things for us? Amen. Amen. So, well, I messed up, Pastor. I'll tell you what, I messed up. Well, guess what? You didn't write the book on it. Why don't you get up and dust yourself off and get back into the kingdom? Amen. Praise God. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I think God might be done with me. Hey, when he's done with you, you'll know about it. Amen. You always knew when you pushed your parents too far, right? They all of a sudden remembered your full name. Joseph, Mark, Pearl. Uh-oh. There's no more grace after this. Grace has ended. Now, look at this. He said that you being rooted and grounded in love, you got to have your roots in love, and you may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ. Notice this, which passes knowledge. See, it's too rich for your mind. It's too rich. If it passes knowledge, you can't figure it out. See, there's some things past my knowledge. It doesn't have to get real deep to do that, by the way. But how many can say there are certain things that are beyond your comprehension, beyond your knowledge? It passes it. It's too rich for your mind. You can't figure it out. God's love is just too rich for your mind. Now, go to Luke 22. We'll close right here. Luke 22. I want you to see this in action, that God is committed to you. He's committed to me to see us through this thing. Amen. All the way to the end. And he's committed. He yearns to do us good. See, now in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Now, interesting thing. Some of you may have heard this before, but you know, Jesus, he just had his way about changing your name. If he didn't like your name, he just changed it. You know, your name is Travis. I'm going to call you John. He didn't even ask you. He just changed your name. Well, he did that with Simon. Your name's Simon. I'm going to call you Peter. Because Simon meant a reed blown with the wind, shaky. Peter meant rock solid. And you'll see this when Peter's rock solid. Jesus called him Peter, but there are times he'd go back and call him Simon again. You're a Peter, but you're acting like Simon. You're being blown about, see. And he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan, verse 31, hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, when you come back, strengthen the brethren. Now, what's this about? Well, look at verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death. And he said, Peter, I'm telling you, before the cock crows this day, you're going to deny me three times. Isn't that something? He knew Peter was going to deny him three times. One of his chosen disciples, and he stands here before him and says, I'm praying for you. He didn't kick him out of the kingdom. What's this is chesed. This is God just being good to you. His covenant love, covenant obligation. Peter, I'm in covenant with you, and even though you're going to deny me, I'm not giving up on you. And think about this. When I love this. When the women Mary, the Marys, the different Marys, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and so when they went to the tomb, when Jesus was resurrected, the angel told them that, you know, who do you seek? And they said, we seek Jesus. And they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's risen. Now you go tell his disciples and Peter. Singled out Peter. Wait, no, you're still in this. And remember, now Jesus hasn't seen Peter since he's been resurrected, okay? He hasn't seen Peter. But one day, Peter says to the other disciples, I'm going to go fishing. Now, he wasn't talking about recreational fishing. He meant, I'm going back to work. Jesus is gone. This was great while it lasted. He's gone. It's over with. I'm going back to work, guys. I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, Peter just had this impulsiveness about him. And he said, I'm going fishing. And they said, well, we'll go with you. I mean, what are we going to do? And they're out there fishing. And then Jesus shows up. Remember, this is John 21. I love this. Jesus shows up and he goes, hey, you caught anything? He said, we haven't caught anything. He said, throw your net on the other side. It's like when you think about it, that doesn't make any sense. You're not catching anything on the right side of the boat, so let's go to the left side. How many fishermen know that doesn't work? You got to go somewhere else in the lake. Not just, oh, I'm going to turn around and throw my rod. No, you got to go somewhere else. But Jesus caused them to catch a great net of fish. And then somebody does a net break, and they knew it. Peter said, it's the Lord. Or John, one of them said, it's the Lord. And Peter, man, he impulsive as he is, he jumps out of the boat and swims to shore. He gets there. And Jesus, now there's some subtle things here. There's some subtle jabs at Peter just to let him know you're still in this thing. You know, Peter denied Jesus around a fire of coals. When they get to shore, Jesus has got a fire of coals going. Now, smells bring you back. You know what I'm saying? He smelled that. That smells like when I denied the Lord. And so they come to Jesus. He's got fish, man. He's cooking it for him, you know, fish on the grill. And so they come to Jesus. I love this because he says, Peter, remember Peter said, though all deny you? Didn't he say that?
He
yet I won't. And Jesus said, I'm praying for you, brother, because you're going to do it. That's a said. But he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? See, what's he doing? He said, didn't you say you love me more than the rest of these? And yet you denied me. Do you love me more than these? Go on. What's he doing? Listen, now you just follow this. I've not got time to read it. But just follow this. Peter said, I love you, Lord. He said, well, feed my sheep. In other words, what? You're not done. Then he asked him again, how many times did Peter deny the Lord?
Three.
Second time, Jesus goes, Peter, do you love me more than all these? Do you love me? He said, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. What's he doing? He's restoring him. He's letting him know it's not done. Then finally, the third time, he goes, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter got aggravated. He said, Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. He said, then feed my lambs. What was he letting him do? And then he said to Peter, listen, here's the next thing he said, and I'm closing with this. Next thing he said, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go. Wherever you wanted to go. He said, but when you get old, somebody's going to get a hold of you and take you someplace you don't want to go. They're going to need a hold of your hands and your feet. They're going to take you someplace you don't want to go. This spake he. By what death Peter should glorify God. How many know Peter died as a martyr, crucified? So what was Jesus saying? Peter, you denied me when I was going to the cross, but you're actually going to go to a cross for me. There's something in you, son. It's just got to come out. That's covenant love. God just doesn't give up on us. Hallelujah. He knows there's something in us. Amen. Amen. We may not feel like it. There's times I don't. There's times I feel like, oh, man, Lord, why'd you pick me? What'd you do that for? But he never gives up on us. Lamentations said, amen, said, it's because of the Lord's mercies, his chesed, his covenant love, that we're not consumed. They're new every morning. I love what one Bible teacher said. You know why they're new every morning? Because you used them all up the day before. Had to get a new batch in. I thought, that's probably true. They're new every morning. Listen to this. Great, come on now, great is his faithfulness. Not ours, his. He's faithful to us when we're unfaithful. He wants to show his said to us. He wants to be good to us. We've just got to receive it by faith. I receive it. I'm going to let you be good to me, Lord. I'm not going to limit you. I'm not going to limit you to this, whatever you want to do. So let's all stand up. Thank God. You get something tonight?
Yeah.
Praise God for his chesed. Praise God for his covenant love. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.